praise the Lord.
All right, I'm just kidding. All right, so, amen. I do hope you guys came ready for preaching tonight. We have Pastor Jeff Hopkins is with us tonight, and he's a graduate of our college. And brother, if you'd come and make your way up here, you guys group, get in your place. All right, we're going to have these guys group went out today and sang for another one of our graduates, Brother George Harris. And we're going to have them sing for us. And the guy that just got done singing is a graduate. Let me just say, we've got a college here, amen, and we're training some good. And these guys here, this is one of those things, it's been my desire. I noticed in the past few years, not here, but in other places, that a lot of places are putting out little boy bands to go sing and represent themselves. And we're here to train men, amen, for the ministry, amen. And so you guys go on to sing, and Brother Hopkins, you come and preach for us.
There are forces in the world today who oppose our Christian faith. They attempt to destroy everything that's holy and control what preachers say. But God still has a few good men who won't bend, won't bow, won't burn. They will fight to the end to defend that faith until the day that the whole world learns. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. Despite what the non-believers say, our God has never changed. His word still means everything it says. It is now and forever the same. The world may think they have won this fight, but they are some who can still be found, who will never give in and will never give up. We will stand our ground. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. Stand up, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of. Book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand.
Young man, I so appreciate this place. For many years, I did not like this place. I went to a Christian school in Lake Wells, and your football team was not friendly at all to us. I didn't like your pastor walking up and down the sidelines. We'd go over and play Good Shepherd, Scotty Drake, same way. Goodness. I got saved when I was 17 years old. I went through the years of a Christian school and knew all of that, but boy, I was wicked. I wanted to date a young lady, so I went and asked her dad. By the way, that's the way it still should work. And he looked at me and he said, "Jeff, I don't even like you." He said, "But you can come and sit beside her in church." So I said, "Okay." I had never really been to church, ever. So I went and told my dad, we work 7 days a week. I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I need to be off Sunday morning." He said, "Why?" I said, "There's a girl." He said, "Okay." So I started going to church, and next thing I know, I found out, hey, they got Sunday night service. So I went back and talked to my dad. I said, "Dad, I need Sunday night off." He said, "Boy," he said, "before you know it, you'll never come to work." I said, "But Dad, there's a girl." He said, "Okay." One Sunday, I got in late. Had to sit toward the back. You know, that's where the worst sinners sit at. That and a balcony, amen. We don't go there. But they had a testimony service. I'd never heard anything like that before. People stood up to my how God had changed their lives. I stood up. You could have heard a pin drop. I said, "I don't have a testimony. Can I come get saved right now?" Amen. And I did. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God changed my life. Amen. I battled with it for several years, and about 10 years later, I finally surrendered. Walked onto this property back when the college was over yonder. Dr. Lee and Dr. William Hiltz were running it then. I met Dr. Hiltz. And if you ever met Dr. Hiltz, he was a bundle of energy. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just checking out the school. And he said, "Great." This was over Christmas break. Nobody else was here, just he. And he said, "Here's a video. Take this video and go down there and watch it." I said, "Okay." I thought it was going to be about the school. It was about the rules and all of that. And then I came back. I said, "I'm finished with it." He said, "Well, good. Take this test." I thought, "What?" So I took the test, and he looked at it. He said, "You passed." I said, "Good." He said, "Have you got a checkbook?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Go write me a check for $125. I walked out of my truck, brought the check back in, and he said, "Congratulations. You're a student at Landmark Baptist College." Classes started in 1 week. Wow, what a journey. Graduated in 1996, my senior year, Pastor Carter came to us and he said, "The church has taken over a church down in Avon Park." By the way, I'm born and raised in Frostproof. And so I grew up in this whole area. So he said, "I want you to go down and pastor that church." So we did. And we were there for 5 years and God blessed. And then I went to work for Scotty Drake with Help Ministries for a couple years, and then ended up here on staff for a few years. And in 2004, God called us to Indiana. I didn't want to go. It's cold in Indiana. You guys are talking about, "Hey, we got a cold front through here today. It's going to be like 69 degrees. We have a heat wave today, and it's going to be 48. It's all relative, though, really. I've enjoyed the day here, seeing some old faces, and you folks sacrificed for people like me. I'm thankful. Oh, boy. There are thousands of people that have been saved as a result of that. And we'll spend eternity talking about it. I don't know what I'm going to preach tonight. I have a good sermon and I have a short sermon. Those two usually do not go together. I've been preaching through the Gospel of Mark this year at our church. By the way, I pastor in a church, a city. It's not even a city, it's a town. We have about 1,000 people in our little town. That's all. Those people need Jesus. It's like all the big ones. But I started this year preaching through the Gospel of Mark, and I thought, you know, it'd take about 14 months to finish it up, you know, just kind of pulling it apart. We're in chapter 4. I don't know if we'll ever finish it. But I want you to turn with me tonight I don't know if we're going to go with the good one or the short one. So take out your Bibles, and we're going to go to Mark chapter 1. By the way, I learned three things at Landmark, three things that have been the guiding principles of my life. I've written these down. I look over them several times throughout the year because these are three principles that Pastor Carter taught. He taught it through his actions, and he taught it through his life. By the way, you have men like Pastor Carter here, and you have Scotty Drake. You have two of the most faithful, godly men that have turned this world upside down like no other two men have. What a heritage this place has. Pastor Carter taught me three things. Number one, he says, Jeff, you don't have to stop what you don't start. Some of you say, what does that mean? Wait until you're in the ministry and you're a pastor and you'll get it. You don't have to stop it if you don't start it. By the way, that's a great thing about habits, bad habits. Amen. If you don't start drinking, you don't have to stop it later on. Amen? So it's a good principle. The second thing he taught me was this. A negative is worse than a zero. A negative is worse than a zero. It's better to have nothing than it is to have bad something. When I first went to the church there, they had a bad choir. I decided no choir would be better. By the way, after a couple years on staff at Landmark, one of the things that you forget is not every place is like Landmark. And when you handle stuff, not everybody can be like Pastor Carter. The number three thing is, Pastor Carter taught me this. I've called him through the years. And he said, Jeff, he says, whenever you don't know what to do, he said, you do what you know you should do. Because I'd ask him, preacher, I don't know what to do. He said, what do you know you should do? Read my Bible, pray, serve God. He said, you keep doing that, and before long, you'll know what you should do. That was worth it all. Amen. That was worth $125. We never made people bring in desserts and stuff like that and resell it to them, though. I'm deeply concerned about several. I walked in today, and last time I was here, you had one screen. Now you have two. How liberal can you get? I am so ashamed. I really am. I just looked and I just kind of, what in the world's going on in this place? Oh, next thing you know, you have CNN on the TV out there in the back. Amen. Aha, I knew that would get you. Amen. I graduated in 1996. I never knew this stamp that this place would put on my life and ministry, but it did. Along the way, I have so many people that have helped me. And this place really has helped me. I'm thankful for that. I know that there's some that have gone out of this place that they've changed. Can I tell you something? I've changed too. I've become a little nicer. Amen. You know, after the whole choir debacle, you know. I just thought they'd take it nice. Hey, you guys really are bad. So what we're going to do is we're just not going to do this anymore. Can I tell you something? Tact is something we all need in the ministry. Amen. You learn that after a while. But I have some men that I graduated with and some that I went to school with and others before and after me, they've changed. Our church is still called Fellowship Baptist Church. We're Baptist. We're Big B Baptist, by the way. Amen. And always have been and always will be. We still use the King James, still do all that. We're still pre-tribulational. Amen. We're still all that. We don't follow after those lunatics on the internet. Amen. All right. We're still where we should be. Amen. And you remain there. You just stay with the Bible. Amen. Young men, just stay with the Bible. It doesn't matter who else is around or what else they do. You just stay with the Bible and you just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. There's one thing Pastor Carter's taught us is this. God honors faithfulness. It'll not always show up in the numbers, but God honors that. Amen. Serve God. We serve a powerful God. If you guys need a title for the message, we'll entitle this The Power of Jesus. Let's read a couple verses tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. Mark 1, verse number 23. It says, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." I don't know if you've ever had somebody in your service with an unclean spirit. How many of us have ever walked into a service with an unclean spirit? Oh, God, help us when we walk in that we leave different than when we came. Amen. May the Word of God always make a difference in our lives.
Yes, sir.
Amen. An unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't it interesting that even the demons recognize the truth about Jesus more than most unsaved people and many so-called church people today? Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And the Word of God says, "And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever." And anon, the word anon is the same word as the word immediately. And it says, "And anon they tell him." If you write in the margin of your Bible, you could write something like this: "The disciples are beginning to take their cares to Jesus." They're beginning to learn to lean on Jesus. God, help us to get to that place. Amen. He just delivered a man with demons in him. And now here's a wife, a mother-in-law. Of course, really, it's Simon's mother-in-law. I don't see him coming and saying, "Hey, God, heal her." I can imagine him saying, "Hey, Lord, just let her alone. She's a lot better off like that." Amen. I married my wife because of my mother-in-law. She's watching on the internet tonight because, well, she's backslidden. And she should be in church tonight, but instead she's watching on the internet like that's doing something. I really don't get that. Amen. But I love her to death. I really do. I love my mother-in-law. That's actually why I married my wife, because of my mother-in-law. She's such a wonderful woman. By the way, because of my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, I'm saved. Because I'm saved, my dad later on was saved, and my mom was later on to save. And you just go right on down the line. And it's amazing if you'll just hold the line and just be true to the things of God. Amen. He says, "Hey, she's sick." I love verse 31. "He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. He healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him." I'm going to stop there because this is the long sermon and not the good one. I want you to get three things tonight. Number one, this: Jesus has power over demons.
Amen.
Jesus preaches, he's interrupted by a demon-possessed man, and the demon uses the man's vocal cords, causing him to scream, and the demon declares his awareness of just who Jesus is, but then Jesus rebukes him. What is a demon? Liberal theologians would say that the people in Bible times were unsophisticated. They had no idea. Maybe this man was something else. No, the Bible said that he had a demon. Now, we may not deal with demon possession all the time, but we sure do deal with demon oppression. You see, through the Gospels and the ministry of Jesus, every time he turned around, there was a demon. There was demonic activity. I don't know if it was a special time and they were trying to attack him even more, but I get that sense in our world today.
Right.
We look around and we see this kind of activity, and we see people cutting themselves and marking themselves, and they're destroying their lives, and we're seeing the suicide rate go up and up. Why? Because the devil has decided that he's going to attack and he's going to steal hope out of people. Can I tell you today, Jesus can still bring hope.
Amen.
But he has power over those. Demons possess people, and they use their physical bodies to carry out the will of God. By the way, you say, yes, man, all of those people, that's just like them. No, that's just like us before we were saved.
Right.
It says we're in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Demon possession was something that Jesus encountered over and over again. And what is so sad is the demons had more respect for Jesus than the religious people did. And after Jesus delivered him, the demon, he wanted to shout from the rooftop who he was. And he said, no, shut up and go away. Why? Because he didn't want to be associated with that. May I remind you tonight, Christian, that you need to be careful with what you're being associated with. Oh, Facebook. What a joy. I'm not opposed to it. I really am not. Our church, we're on Facebook. We have all of that going on. And I'm for that. And but I'm amazed at what people put. Can I challenge you to do this? Whenever you go on vacation, first of all, whenever you go on vacation, you ought to still go to church.
Amen.
Amen. Check in there. You use Facebook. Check in so the people back home know you're not laid up in the cabin somewhere. Amen. And it just helps. It shows your faithfulness. And I was going to say something else about that Powerball and the Mega Millions and all of that. I don't necessarily preach against that. I'm a pastor. I have ministries that need to be funded. Here's what I preach, amen. The wages of sin is 20%. Amen. You win. I better say, I had a man tell me recently, he said, preacher, if I win this, he said, I'm going to do this and do that. And I just wanted to tell him, why don't you start giving with what you've got now?
Amen.
Maybe if we start with the $100, then the $1 million will be easy. Amen. I don't know. But I know that a lot of people this week, they are going to be wrought up with that. And they're going to be thinking about it. In fact, he was talking about that this morning, and I thought, what would I do with $1 billion? My mind went right on down that road. Amen. See, that unclean spirit, that thing will get you every time. Amen. I don't know about you, but I struggle with the flesh. It is obvious whenever Jeff Hobson is not filled with the Spirit. I get mean. I get ornery. I start taking my knife out and like, I might cut you. I might shoot you. I don't know, but I'm so glad Jesus works in everybody's life. See, here's a man, there's not much said about the man, but this fellow, he was in trouble. He had all his demons in him, and he was struggling with it. But then not only, we don't deal so much with demons, but I'll tell you what, we deal with this second part. Jesus has power over difficulties.
Amen.
About 3 years ago, I don't know, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've had some issues, and I didn't know what was going on. I really thought that I was going crazy. And if you knew my family, you would know, hey, that stuff runs in the family, so there's a good possibility of that. I didn't know. I hurt, and I was forgetting things, and it was like I had grown old overnight. And I started going through all the testing procedures, and I found out about 3 years ago that I have multiple sclerosis. And what it did is it took a young man, middle-aged man now, that was just a ball of energy, and it has made him tired all the time. And he hurts every joint, every portion of my body. I've got 3 spots in my brain and 4 on my spinal column. And they affect my nervous system. Can I tell you something? I'm glad that Jesus has power over difficulties. Whenever your physical health begins to change, you'll all of a sudden realize how important it is to rely on Jesus. When the services were over in the synagogue, look at verse 29. It says, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. She was supposed to have been getting the dinner together, but apparently she had a fever, a headache. And it incapacitated her. It wasn't life-threatening, but it put her off her feet. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have been there before? I deal with this one, right? Even without the multiple sclerosis, I deal with these difficulties. Have you ever had a day where you just didn't feel good? You said, you know, look, those of you that are in college, you have a lot of those days. It's like, I just don't want to go. Are all your teachers exciting, or do you have a couple boring ones? Never mind. Every one of them are looking over here. What's going on with that? See, every eye is cutting like, well, we're not saying anything, so I don't know. Oh, there were some professors that I so enjoyed, and there are others that I so endured. But I learned something from all of them. By the way, when I went to Bible college, Dennis Corll came down and he would teach a 3-week session, and the room was about as big as this choir loft. And I'm going to tell you something. You put Dennis Corll in a room about that big, and you understand this fever and this headache business right here. I wanted to wear earmuffs. Huh? Yeah, amen. It just was, oh. What a great time we had. We were a bunch of old guys when we were in Bible college, and the young earth and old earth thing came up, and me and Joe Pasola, we were going out in the parking lot to fight. I told him, I said, man, you're a heretic. I said, you ought not believe like that. I said, somebody ought to punch you in the mouth. He said, you think you can? I said, I know I can. We're going out the door. You guys better be glad. It's a lot more civil nowadays than it used to be, amen? Oh, what a great time we had. I remember the first time they threw me out on the beach in Daytona, and we went there soul winning, and they threw me out, and they said, go get him. Oh, what? I walked up to 6 young men, and I was 27, 28 years old, and these guys were like little giants. And turned out that they were the linemen from the University of Iowa. And the year before, I'd heard a horror story about a group of football players had grabbed one of the soul winners and threw him out in the ocean. And I thought, oh, I'm glad my clothes will drip dry if they do that to me. But I asked them, I introduced myself. Hey, I'm Jeff, and we're just out on the beach asking people some things. And they said, what are you asking? I said, if you were to die today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven? One of the guys said, no. I said, would you like to be 100%? Another fellow said, well, yeah. And in a few moments, those 6 fellows got on their knees and they prayed and asked Jesus to be their Savior. Wow. That's so cool, isn't it? All right, I just have so many stories about Pastor Carter. Never mind, I won't do any of that. Amen. Oh, boy. It's one thing you go to college with him, underneath him, but then whenever you work for him, it's completely different. Amen. He's a good man, but I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Carter gets here early. He stays here late. And he expects you to do that too. Amen? I love that guy. I really do. I so appreciate him. And I haven't even moved this one single time. Ah! Some things never change, amen. Well, let's get back to sermon, all right? Here's the mother-in-law. She's laying here. She's sick. The disciples, they run to Jesus. They turn to him and they said, hey, we've got a problem. Jesus just went from delivering a man that was demon-possessed with many demons to a lady that just has a fever. You know what I see here? He cares about everything. He put just as much interest and power into this difficulty that he did to the demon-possessed man. Can I tell you something tonight? There's nothing too big and there's nothing too small for you to take to God. Amen. I heard a little girl, they asked her, said, what do you think God is like? She said, I think he's more like Jesus than anybody I know. What a great Savior we serve tonight. What kind of difficulty do you need help with today? You say, preacher, it's too little. No, it's not. It's too big. No, it's not. What we have to do is just simply bring it to Him. The Bible says this. In fact, Peter says this later on. You know all the story about Peter. What an amazing story it is. But he writes in 1 Peter, he said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know what? He watched as Jesus cared. He watched as Jesus ministered. We have a high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He felt it all. So Jesus has power over demons. Praise God for that. The devil's a defeated foe. We live sometimes like he's not. We live like, oh, the devil's got all his power. He has no power. He's a dog on a leash. And God says you can only go so far. But boy, we need some Christians today to get serious in praying for our younger generation. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil's having a heyday right now. And honestly, we're seeing the suicide rate now go up. I'm a crisis counselor in our local public schools. By the way, we have a Bible club in our local public school. That's one of the reasons why I love being in a small area. That they invited us to come in. Every Wednesday, I go in and I teach the Bible on public school property. About 3 weeks ago, I had three of the cheerleaders. We had about 44 or 45 teenagers that were there, and I had three of the cheerleaders that bowed their head and trusted Christ as their Savior. So we do that week after week. We've been doing that for 8 years. 8 years. And God's just so good. Can I tell you, He has power over demons and difficulties. Well, we see also, I'll pick it up about verse number 32. It says, and at even when the sun did set. Now, we're at the end of the Sabbath. See, before this, they couldn't really bring anybody. There were restrictions on them. So now the Sabbath is over with. It's at the even time. And they brought unto Him. The word brought there carries with the idea of bearing the burden, of actually picking them up and bringing them. They brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And notice He healed many. Jesus has power over demons, and He has power over difficulties, and He has power over diseases. Can I tell you this tonight? That He is more powerful than what you and I face. The people that came that evening were suffering from every imaginable disease and affliction. There were people in that crowd that were suffering from sickness, and others were suffering from Satan. Some were diseased and some were demon-possessed, but none of them were too big of a problem for Jesus. Amen. I say this tonight, and I say this again, and I can't tell you this enough over and over and over again. Keep running to Jesus. Amen. Don't let the devil get into your mind that God has given up on you.
Right. Amen.
You'll know when He has, because you'll be dead.
That's right.
I say again that Jesus has power over disease. He can heal anyone He wants to heal. But it isn't always His will to heal. We know that. Goodness, I know this. Whenever through the years I've prayed, God, will You heal me? God, will You? I began to read about all the folks in the Bible that were sick. Of course, we were on the radio for a long time up in our area, and so whenever people found out that I had EMS, they started sending me things. And one person sent me a book of how to eat right, and if I drank enough carrot juice, and if I did this and that I'd be cured, and if I took these vitamins, I would do this. And if I did this, if I stood on my head X amount of hours a day, I don't know what all it was. And one lady, she sent me a book, and the book really, you know, was, hey, if you had enough faith, you'd be cured. And I thought, you lunatic. I didn't say that to her. You know, I've learned tact since the choir debacle, amen. We need to understand this, that not a drop of blood was shed on the cross for our physical healing. It was shed for our spiritual healing, amen. I got saved when I was 17. No matter what happens now, I'm going to heaven one day. I might go a little bit more crippled up and a little bit hurting and all of that, a little bit weaker, but I think I'll go a lot more humbler. You know, God will do whatever it takes to humble you. Can I remind you, especially you young men that are going into ministry, humble yourselves. Don't make him humble you.
Amen.
One of the things that I've learned, and I really believe that that's one of the reasons why God has done this, is because of pride. Oh, I wish I'd learned that so long ago. There's a verse that I've claimed. Jesus was talking to the disciples. By the way, Jesus had some great conversations with the disciples. He had some great conversations with you and I.
Amen.
We'll just talk to him. Jesus' friend, Lazarus, had passed away. They said, before he passed away, he said, Lord, he's sick. He knew all of it. Here's what he said. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. By the way, MS won't kill you. It'll make you feel like you want to die. No one will kill you. It's not a life-threatening disease, but it's a life-altering disease. But I read this, and the Bible says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man, or Son of God, might be glorified thereby. So the verse that I try to live by is 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Sometimes it's God's will to use sickness as a doorway to lead us from this world into the next. How many of you have ever wondered why some people suffer so whenever they get sick? I read this a couple years ago and it's kind of stuck with me. This is a man that's writing, and he says, I spent some time this week with a man in his early 30s who was on his deathbed. Boy, if you've been in the ministry any length of time, you've been there. And you've walked away from those things. We were on staff here whenever Rich Lemon got cancer. Rich grew up in my youth department. See, after I got saved in Lake Wells, Rich was part of my youth group. And God just so happened to bring us here to work on staff, and all of a sudden we find out that Rich has got cancer. So Pastor Carter said, can you take care of the young people while he's going through this? We live right around the corner from him. We took care of their babies and all that, and many people here did. But I remember walking in the hospital thinking, God, this isn't fair. This isn't right. I'm going to tell you, I struggled with that. I still struggle with some of those things. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that knows everything?
Amen.
He said, I spent some time this week with a man in his 30s who was on his deathbed. The body of this young man, once a good athlete and a vibrant father, is now racked by cancer. His family asked, understandably, why? Why doesn't the Lord just take him home? Why the suffering? We prayed for his healing and that didn't happen. What's the father doing? In those situations, you wonder. I understand the family saying, take him home, but what if? Here's the thought. What if in these final days of our brother's difficulty and suffering, the father is putting the final touches on the inner man, shaping and molding what he will be for the next billion years in heaven? What if he's bringing that person to the end of themselves so that they're completely able and willing to trust their father? I'm going to tell you something. That helped me a lot because I stand and I still struggle sometimes with it. Because I read in the Word of God and I see here in verse 33, all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. Jesus can heal those bodies for him. It's no problem for him. But I lose sight of things whenever friends and loved ones are suffering with disease. I lose sight of this fact. That's not why Jesus came. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've been away from this place for 14 years. There are some things that have changed. Two screens. There are some things that have not changed. It's still the same Bible, still the same God, still the same pastor. Still the same pastor. Amen? I'm telling you, same man. All the rest of us wearing glasses, hair falling out. It looks like preacher's hair is getting thicker. Still no glasses. Well, every once in a while I think he cheats, but he wouldn't tell us that. But boy, the hand of God's been on him, hasn't he? But one of the things that I thought about today is all the years that I've been away from here and how good it's been to hug and talk to people and see. I thought, you know what? As the choir was singing a while ago, this is going to be a little bit like heaven's going to be. I've been away from some folks for a long time, but one day, I'm going to sit down with them and say, hey, it's good to see you again. Can I tell you something? Jesus has power tonight. You say, preacher, I'm struggling with something. Maybe it's demon oppression. Maybe the devil's got his claws into you. How many of you here have a friend or a family member that the devil's wrecking their life? How many of you are like that tonight? I am. I've got some folks like that. Some folks I love that my heart aches and breaks for that. But I'm reminded of this. Jesus has power over that. All that person has to do is just turn to Him. Oh God, will you do that? Don't give up. Don't give up. Most all of us have got some folks that are going through some difficulties. It may be financial, it may be physical, it may be spiritual. I don't know what it may be huge, it may be little. Can I tell you something? God will give you direction. He'll take care of the little difficulties just like He will the big, huge diseases. But every once in a while we tend to forget that, don't we? All right, let me close with a thought tonight. When the people saw Jesus casting out demons and healing diseases, they were amazed at His power. Here's what I want you to take away tonight. Oftentimes we read these things in the Word of God and we think, wow, that was so great. No, that is so great. Amen. That same Jesus has this same power. Amen. When we read the Word of God, let's quit putting it all in the past tense. We serve the God in the present. Amen. These people were healed. These people were changed because they allowed God to take part of their lives. Every once in a while, as Christians, we get a little stubborn. And we try to do it on our own. Let's quit doing that. Let's humble ourselves and say, God, I need You. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'm struggling with some things and I feel like I'm kind of in a bondage cycle. If you want to be free, why don't you just come? You say, is it that easy? Yes, it's that easy. Maybe you've got a friend or a loved one. Those of you that work bus routes, those of you that have Sunday school classes, you've got people that the devil has twisted their life around. Don't give up on them. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got a difficulty. You've got a family issue, a financial issue, a health issue. Why don't you just come and say, Lord, I want You to be a part of this. Maybe you're here today and you found out something from the doctor recently and, well, it's taking the wind out of your sails. He may not cure that disease, but He'll be with you in that disease. You'll learn more about Him if you'll trust Him than if you resist Him. Oh God, help us to be yielded tonight. Our Father, we come to You now. We thank You for this place. But we know that it's not about this place. This is about the power of God in this place. We yield ourselves to You. We love You. And we thank You for everything that You allow and do in our lives. Oh God, change our hearts and lives. May we leave different than we walked into these doors. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Let's all stand this evening, head still bowed, eyes closed. We'll sing a verse of invitation. God's spoken to your heart, you need to come. If God hasn't spoken to your heart, you need to come because something's going on. Oh God, I need you today. I need that power over disease, over difficulty, over the demons. Many of us will just come and say, God, renew my spirit. I'm tired and weary. God, help me this week. As God leads, may we respond.